You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I never meant cares about
ain't
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Get to people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
get
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get to people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me why your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Get to people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to get done, it must be done. It must be done. You will get it done. And you'll do it safely. And that's why we love you and appreciate you. Keep on getting it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But of course, if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. You click on that, and in the drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But you can go direct to that by putting in babaoshi.net. Put babaoshi.net and it'll take you right there. And those programs will be right there for you. I'm trying to get that to, so you can make it easy for you to even listen to the program as well as go to the archives. Put in babaoshi, babaoshi.net. And you go right there to those programs that are dated and title. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Tuesdays, Dr. William Rogers. The program on Thursday is not happening, and something will take its place. That's unfortunate. On Wednesday, the American African Farmers program will happen next week, Wednesday. Next week, Wednesday, American African Farmers. Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, brothers and sisters, that is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays, 4 p.m. from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans with Brother Bomani Tahimba. He is back from his tour of
Senegal and Gambia. In fact, he's updated. He's updated. He's going to be in Senegal and Gambia next year, April 1st to April 11th. And he still has the same price. Excuse me. So the next tour is May 24th to June 5th, going to Ghana. Then followed by November 18th through the 29th, going to Tanzania. Then Ghana again, December 24th through January 5th, 2022. And then once again, Senegal and Gambia, April 1st through April 11th, 2022. And the price still for these are $3,700. Everything on the website, AfricaForTheAfrican.org, is there for you. I hope to get Brother Bamani on real soon so we have a conversation about what's happening, what's going on, how the tours are going, and everything like that. So go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see video, excuse me, if you want to see pictures of previous tour, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. Dr. Brunoco, he has a couple trips upcoming as well as some webinars. There's one coming up April 30th, Friday, April 30th, and Saturday, May 1st. The African Presence in Early Europe. The African Presence in Early Europe. And you go through Eventbrite. Go through Eventbrite. And it's a Zoom session. So I will send you that, get you that information that's coming up. And then, of course, he has one this Friday. This Friday, the 16th, with a brother from... conversation with Shamar Abbas. And of course he is Nubian. He's a Nubian brother. And so that should be very interesting. Go to drrinoco.com, drrinoco.com. And of course he has a trip upcoming to Ghana, July 18th through August 3rd. And he's that trip is with Professor Small and Dr. Lynn Jeffries. And then of course around that same time he's leaving from Ghana, going to Kemet, July 31st to August 13th in Kemet. So these trips are, and webinars are happening. Go to drrinoco.com or give him a call. Give him a call at 323. That's 323-803-8663. 323-803-8663. drrinoco.com. Habeshah Incorporated, brothers and sisters. These brothers and sisters have been doing the work here locally as well as on the continent, particularly in Ghana. The Kashi project that they have in Ghana is in full swing. Some of the buildings are up, and you need to check it out. You need to go to their website. Habeshah Incorporated, standing for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Habeshah Works. They also have a repatriation initiative, an 18-month step-by-step training to come home to the motherland. Yep. That needs more information on that. Where am I at now? You know, somehow my computer just did something funky. Let me just see if I can reclaim that. Oh, okay. I have. The LEDGE Group. The LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. TheLEDGEGroup.com. They have a raffle for a safari in Tanzania, a Tanzanian safari. And you need to go to theledgegroup.com to get the particulars of entering that raffle, and you can go on a trip, an adventure of a lifetime. Of course, Ledge deals with the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries with over 170 employed and 260 members. You should become a member of the Ledge Group. LedgeGroup.com. Bibi Atumi. Bibi Atumi. ABIBITUMI.com. Bibi Atumi.com. Their Saturday seminar series this Saturday. Common elements of African cosmology. Are African people really one people? In this in-depth discussion, we focus on the common cosmological elements across African cultures to show we are indeed the one primordial water, the life force, the void, and the continuum. Transmission of the life force, the four primordial elements of ancestors, chaos and order, the concert of opposites and divine, and intelligence and logic and word. All of these things will be discussed this Saturday. So go to the website, bbatumi.com, and purchase your ticket. That's $10. And it's at 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock. 1 p.m. Eastern. 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 Central, 11 Mountain, and 10 Pacific. And check out on bbatumi.com. There's a whole bunch of stuff on bbatumi.com, things for sale and so forth. So go to the website, bbatumi.com. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, across the street from Soul Veg, down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Well, of course, the Shrine of the Black Madonna is still open on weekends, Friday and Saturday at 1 p.m. And do you have... At Wadada's, delicious smoothies and all kinds of good stuff. And that's on Ralph David Abernathy. If you want to give Wadada's a call and find out what's going on, do that at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Met Mama Nia. She's open. And she's waiting for you if you're in the Atlanta area. In the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore. Medu means writings. Nature means gods. The Medu Nature, what the Greeks call hieroglyphs. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. This is east of Atlanta. Brother Gazimde Ajamu, our proprietor, has a delicious coffee bar they just put up with many African coffees. And, of course, the number one seller, my favorite, Cameroon Boyo. Oh, man, I love it. Especially, I mean, you know, when you find a coffee you can drink black without being bitter, without aftertaste, you got to go with it, even though it costs a little bit more. But it's well worth it. For those listeners, they know what I'm talking about. Us Lifting Us, to Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Uchama, their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. But if you want to call and listen, you can do that. And you can also have questions, comments, or concerns. And that is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop, located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's right, Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Please give Sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabby has sent me a whole bunch more pictures. I mean, she's definitely on the case and doing great work. The children look beautiful, and they're really progressing in the northeastern part of the island of Haiti. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I .org. Sanjay dash Haiti .org. Ackerman Institute. Ackerman Institute, Baba Baruti, Mama Ya Baruti. As we say, doing an outstanding job of educating our young warriors. Please support them. Go to Ackerman Institute. Make your check or money order out to Ackerman Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. And, of course, that's old school, which, of course, I am, and that's how I do it. You know what I'm saying? But, of course, there's PayPal and Cash App. If you want to use Cash App, put the dollar sign in, YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, BARUTI. And make a constant donation. They have a Common Sense Security workshop on Saturday, April 24th, coming up. I'll make mention of that probably with details. And Men's Quarterly in May, next month, Saturday, May 8th, Warriorhood, Healing, and Ma'at. Warriorhood, Healing, and Ma'at. And that's from 12 to 2 on Saturday, May 8th, and then their 7th Annual Complementarity Conference, June 5th, 2021, Affirming African Love. That's going to be June 5th, 2021, the 7th Annual Complementarity Conference. Okay. What do I need to do? Before I read the Enye Sesem, I want to make a couple of announcements. One is this movie that I want all of you to watch. Go to YouTube, put in the movie Great Pyramid K 2019. It's over 3.5 hours long. There might be some other segments that you can deal with on YouTube when you put it in, but I would suggest that you watch that movie and have the patience in it and to go through it, however how you want to do it. But to me, this is the game changer. This is for us. Even though it was produced, I'm not sure the ethnicity of the individuals involved. I know the narration is Caucasians. But the reality and the animation is outstanding. But the reality is it explains how the pyramids were built. It explains why you have such beautiful statues and artwork and pottery that is perfect. Because it was not done by somebody with a hammer and a chisel, as we all thought and were told. This is deep. This is really deep. I want you to go to the movie Great Pyramid K 2019. The movie Great Pyramid K 2019. We'll talk about the details of this on a later program when all of you had a chance to see it so you all can comment. To me, it's very important. I mean, one of the things that it highlights is the fact that it is us, Africans. We did it. Nobody else. It wasn't no damn aliens or nobody from outside of us. It was us and our ingenuity and our minds. And it's deep, y'all. It is very deep of how we did it, you know, because when you look at it in its perfection, and it is perfection. It could not have been done with somebody with a hammer and a chisel. It was done because of how they laid it out. First, we thought, how could they have bored these holes in these, especially in the Great Pyramid of Khufu? They have four things that go from the center of the pyramid to the outside. One of them illuminates the Sirius star so Khufu's spirit can go out. I mean, all of it is explained and all of it is done. And so we need to really look at this documentary in its entirety. There's some slow parts. There's some, especially when the Caucasians are traveling from the west coast of Africa and sailing into the waters, you know, into the ocean. But a Caucasian named Thor Heyerdahl proved that that could be done because of how the currents take you from east to west into this hemisphere. But we already knew the earth was round. We knew the earth was round. We knew that if you continue to sail in that particular direction, you'll come back to that spot. We'll talk about that more so in the next few weeks. I want everybody to get a chance. I'm going to continue to announce this movie, this documentary. And believe me, it's impactful. It is. It is impactful. So, the Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 13th. Centeredness is a conceptualization which argues for and employs the philosophical should of Africans having knowledge and understanding of their historical origins and cultural development, which provides connectedness to and the necessary reverence for their ancestors, and thus an infectious perception of self in culture. The problematic is decenteredness, having a false connection to European history and culture, and thus a misperceptions of reality, which often causes a psychopathological disconnectedness from the ancestors, from African culture, and at times even from people of African descent. A form of self-alienation. This impedes our common cultural knowledge source for understanding in community and thus preventing effective communications, particularly intergenerational. Danjuma, Sinyu, Madupe. Being centered means actively thinking and living in the revolutionary consciousness and dynamic sacred space where the essence of what our ancestors defined and lived as African people is at its purest and most densely concentrated. Centeredness is the highest level of our historical story and visionary consciousness, giving an unqualified, complete sense of meaning and purpose to being African. It is a spiritual, mental, and physical state of being. Without being centered, Africans are merely rotting pieces of driftwood, floating directionlessly around in another man's sea of insanity. Affirm, I am centered. Affirm, I am centered. April 14th. I am African first. I am Black first. I want what's good for me and my people first. And if my survival means your total destruction, then so be it. Sister Soulja. You can go to YouTube, put in Phil Donahue Show, Sister Soulja. And the quote I just made, you will hear her stated. That was a panel discussion on her and Brother Daruba Ben Wahan on the panel. And it's dynamic. That's right. Go to YouTube, Phil Donahue Show, and put in Sister Soulja, S-O-U-L-J-A-H, J-A-H, Sister Soulja. African warriors know Yorugu. They know and practice what it means to be an African. They have no fear of Yorugu. They have no fear of any enemy. They know that all of Yorugus are enemy. They know that they know what has been and continues to be done to our people. They understand genocide. They are beyond simple anger. They know our story and therefore are eternally righteously enraged. They are karma and are here to collect blood debts. They would not be caught dead in bed, Yorugu. They do not sleep with the enemy, for they know that this is treason against our ancestors. They do not procreate with genetic recessives. They see no beauty in images deficient in color. They live far beyond the monochrome reality. They need nothing from Yorugu. They own their own appetites. They sustain themselves without Yorugu. They only seek complementarity commitments with those who also know Urugu. They rear their children to know Urugu. They know that whether yesterday, today, or tomorrow, Urugu is Urugu. They know that Urugu will. They know that Urugu and evil are. Excuse me, I'm sorry. My nose is having a problem here. I got it. They know that Urugu and evil are synonymous. They know that all Urugu are one. Affirm, I am African first, and other issues with that is their problem. I am Africa first, and others who have issues with that, that's their problem. The Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. And once again, when I read the Inye Sesim, it is pertinent to what we're going to talk about today, which is the ERAL, the newspaper for the Institute of the New African World, the Organization for African Unity. And once again, they don't do a monthly paper anymore. They do a quarterly paper. And believe me, I love the brothers and sisters in San Antonio, Texas, with the ERAL. The main narrative we're going to talk today about is for Babu, you know, Babu was grandfather. They call my grandchildren, and many people call me Babu as well as Baba. So Babu Phil Johnson, who is an ancestor, he joined the ancestor realm about 4 years ago, I believe. And today's topic is going to be propaganda and disinformation, the battle we must win to advance. And so I just read this Inye Sesim. Didn't we just talk about that? So I tell you, Inye Sesim is always on point. So, always on point. And so we're going to get off into the ERAL. But first, let us do this. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself, and what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. Although that is credited to Rinoco, he credits, what is the gentleman's name? I forgot, but on the Hidden Colors 3, I think it is, Baba Rinoco's on there, and he gives this quote towards the end of it. Which I think is dynamic, is because what you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. The question, of course, is who's doing the telling? And are you sure that all the information is from the source that is us, that is ours? Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude, and your attitude determines your behavior pattern. And your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think and ends with what you do. So if you think that our sisters, our beautiful sisters, ain't nothing but B's and H's, then you're going to treat them like that. But if you think, because of your philosophy, what you think, that our sisters are to be respected and protected and loved and cared as the great compliment that they are, then you're going to treat them with love and respect and care. The same applies to the sisters towards us. If the sister believes that brothers ain't about nothing, And I understand that, because we've been trained to think that. We're the only people that talks about each other in such disparaging, evil ways. That our men ain't nothing. They ain't sugar, honey, iced tea. And they don't deserve respect. But if you believe that it's your philosophy, what you think, and your actions believe that our men are to be supported and cared for and respected, you will treat them with that. It begins with what you think and it ends with what you do, your actions. And of course, as the saying goes, your actions speak louder than words. But if this system is putting into your mind all these negative things and self-hatred, and why constantly, you know, we all, but I mean, we in an environment that promotes insanity. And if you don't have, you know, the ability to fight it off or in your right mind, you will succumb. You will succumb. And every day, dear brothers and sisters, in fact, it's 24/7, 365, they are attacking your Africanness. So every day you fend that off. Every day you love yourself and you love your people. You love your culture. Every day it is a battle. And even though those around you, they act in the way that they do. It's, you know, I don't quote the Bible too much and Jesus, but here's a good one. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, Africa's books of great wisdom. Go now and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton, who actually physically built his home in North Carolina, who joined the ancestors before his home was completed. And that was for ASCAC when we had our Southeast. I'm going to talk about ASCAC in a second. When we had our Southern Region Conference, it was just great. And Brother Gallman did an outstanding job, and his wife was there. And it almost brought tears to my eyes because I've been saying this quote and did not know that he really did this. But brothers and sisters, once again, directing you to YouTube. Go to YouTube, put in Lester Velt Middleton, and you can hear our ancestors speak. The great interviews he did with many of the great scholars, warrior scholars of ours. Check it out. Okay. ASCAC. That's right, brothers and sisters. ASCAC is happening. What's unfortunate for me is that my grandsons, remember I told y'all I'm doing a basketball thing, this AAU, and it's constant. I got to take into practice and so forth. So where it is, I wish they had internet because I could have listened to yesterday evening's session, but they don't. And I got to go again today. So I missed Larry Crow, but I'm going to get his information and I'm going to get Larry Crow on the program. Good brother he's out of Dayton. He's not out of Chicago, but he's a member of the Midwest region of ASCAC and does an outstanding job, particularly talking about Martin R. Delaney. And we need to talk about Martin R. Delaney. But go to ASCAC, ASCAC 2021.eventbrite.com, BRITE, ASCAC2021.eventbrite.com, and you can still register tonight's presentation. Tonight's presentation, Brother Bernie Gallman, independent scholar out of South Carolina, analyzing our oppression, understanding the mechanisms. And then Dr. Joshua Myers, who's associate professor at Africana Studies, along with Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr and Mario Beatty and Delethia Beatty, right, at Howard. A Worthy Ancestor, W.E. Du Bois, A Black Life. And then at 8:40, Deborah Johnson from Buffalo, New York. Early 20th century progressive movements in Buffalo, New York. And then at 9, the last presenter, Tyreek Richardson, is a doctoral student of the Department of Africology at Temple University. The Great African Thinkers Series, a literary celebration of our intellectual heroes. That should be very interesting and good. And then tomorrow evening, the ASCAC Regional, Eastern Region Study Group of New Jersey, Buffalo, Harlem, Rochester, toward a research strategy, the African origins of Kemetic civilization, focusing on Sheikh Andre Diop, civilization or barbarism. That should be very good. If you know, understand Dr. Sheikh Andre Diop. And then Antonia Thompson, emerging scholar, Claflin University in South Carolina, undergrad research in Africana studies, our presentation along with another student, Savannah Jordan. And then Sean Brooks from Morehouse College with a presentation along with Randy Groves from Morehouse College. So that's tomorrow. We have students presenting. We have young people presenting. And on Friday, Dr. Alethea Watkins, associate professor at Howard, standing in their own truth, American African women and the fight for the vote, and then and now. And then Dr. Kamal Rashid, president of ASCAC Midwest. Capoeira finds order in chaos. African fighting arts has an African-centered education. That should be deep for those who are into the fighting arts. Capoeira, yeah. Damon Stiff, founder and president of Historic Africa Martial Arts Association, to walk as a lion, the warrior way in the African context. And then on that, and that's the close on Friday. And then on Saturday, the final day of ASCAC, Sister Yvonne Jones out of Chicago, she's the Spiritual Development Commission. And those Netaru, what can they do? Give life, give help, empower, restore, and more. Those Netaru, what can they do? They can give life. They can give health and empower, restore, and more. That's going to be an excellent presentation. That's on Saturday at 1 p.m. Saturday at 1 p.m. And then Sister Joy Hardiman, who is the co-chair as ASCAC Creative Productions Commission, Finding Abundance in Pandemics, a retrospective of 22 episodes of Let the Ancestors Speak, a virtual YouTube salon. Now, that's what I was just talking about. See, you're going to have a workshop on it on Saturday. And then Sister Muriel out of Chicago as well. She has a presentation. And then a brother out of Detroit, the Medu Nature Study Group out of Detroit, Understanding Ma'at as a Functional Symmetry, Nature, Reality, Organized as Living Interactive Process, Understanding Ma'at. And then in Infudishi is doing a program with Brother Jehudi Heru, developing Kemetic spiritual material for teaching our children. And then Akil Parker, my good brother Akil Parker, who will be with me this Friday in our conversation. We'll talk about last Friday was Paul Roberson's birthday. We were going to do it last Friday, but of course we had Bubba Rudy on last Friday. So he'll be with me this Friday and we'll talk about Paul Roberson. He is an adjunct math professor at Cheney University. Du Bois again. Du Bois, the mathematician. That should be interesting. And then the Kwame Ture Society of African Studies at Howard. Kwame Ture Society, the Way of Companions. And then closing the ASCAC conference out will be Greg Kramathi Carr. Brother Greg. Once again, YouTube. If you go to YouTube, I believe it is a TED Talk. I saw the mantra, the TED Talk behind him. Brother Carr does an outstanding piece on the TED Talk. So please go to YouTube. But Greg Carr will be the last presenter. changing sames and new normals. Changing sames and new normals. Actions, African survival in the worlds to come. African survival in the worlds to come should be outstanding. So that's ASCAC, brothers and sisters. ASCAC. I'm going to, for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to read the in the second hour, the narrative that Baba or Babu Phil Johnson puts out from the Arrow, the newspaper for the Institute of a New African World. But just thumbing through it, all of it, man, is just fantastic, man. In fact, they have some synopsis and on a number of things. They talk about political prisoners, nutrition, COVID-19, colds and flu, racism and the medical care of African people. And they talk about great scholars and historians of our people, as well as local people who have transitioned. And of course, being April, my birthday, April 27th, is the same day as Dr. Ashaka Musa Bereshango. And man, that is an honor. Love Dr. Shango. Dr. Akamusha Bereshango, affectionately known as Baba, was a dynamic minister, prolific author, historian, educator, and motivational speaker who was born April 27th, 1938. Dr. Shango received his Bachelor's Degree of Arts in Religion from Oakwood College in Huntsville, Alabama. He studied for his master's degree at Northwestern Seminary in Tacoma, in Tacoma Park, Maryland. The New African University Network System of Washington, D.C. saluted him with an honorary doctorate of philosophy degrees in 79. Baba was elevated to a Grand Master Scholar in 2000 while in Kemet. He was also co-founder and creative director of the Fourth Dynasty Publishing Company in Silver Spring, Maryland. Dr. Bereshango always stressed that we can never free our minds as long as we view God as a white man, or as long as we keep worshiping white people's holidays. He has a book. That's right. As a popular lecturer, Baba left behind a vast collection of taped speeches on such topics as 10 points on the African-centered realities of religious thought and practice, the role of religion in African historical development, and the African origins of the Bible. Books he authored include God, the Black Man in the Bible, African People and European Holidays, as well as African Women, the Original Guardian Angel. Dr. Bereshango was completely dedicated to the physical, mental, and spiritual liberation of African people. Ashe. To the original man and most other people of color, a solid family structure was the most sacred entity in the world. The African male had a strong affection for women and children who, in his exiled view of the African woman, was based on his particular place in the development of civilization. Therefore, the African man repudiated in its primary duty to protect her. Therefore, the African man reputed it his primary duty to protect her, the children she bore, and the society she nurtured. That is our responsibility. And he stated it. They have a piece with Jetty, Baba Jetty, Jimshu Sahudi, Jimshu Jahudi, which is Dr. Jacob Carruthers, one of the first persons that when I joined ASCAC and he came to Milwaukee when I was living in Milwaukee and had a chance to hear him along with Roosevelt Roberts and Dr. Anderson Thompson, and many others. Just a great man, you know, Dr. Carruthers, as well as Dr. Clark. You know, Dr. Clark, can't say enough about Dr. John Henry Clark. News briefs them around, and the quality of life, self-help, educational program, and this lesson today is African spirituality. You know, I'm going to tell you, just this newspaper, you just got to get it. You really do. And how do you do that? How do you get this newspaper, brothers and sisters? The Arrow. The Arrow's address is 646 Holmgreen, H-O-L-M-G-R-E-E-N, Home Green Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78220. 78220. Their phone number is 215-333-0118. That's 215-333-0118. It is a quarterly publication of the Institute of the African World, Organization for African Unity. Letters to the editor and other comments are welcome in remembrance of Babu Phil Johnson, founder and managing editor. Man, love that brother. Love him. And as always, you can become a member and support what they're doing. Man, love this newspaper. You know, subscribe. Receive the Arrow Quarterly or give the gift of knowledge with a gift subscription of the Arrow. Send $25. $25, brothers and sisters. Check a money order to OBU Incorporated, 646 Home Green Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78220. If you want to use PayPal, you go to, if you're using PayPal, obuinc@gmail.com. obuinc@gmail.com. They talk about political prisoners. They talk about a whole number of things. And when you go through the paper, there's all kinds of stuff on safety and education and health. Yeah. And, of course, they give honor to the local people that have supported them. Many men and women who have gone on to be with the ancestors. What does the Organization for African Unity want? We want to see the divisions of African people come to an end. Ashe, please. All these divisions come to an end. We want to see the African community move collectively to develop African-owned and operated businesses. We want to develop a sense of African culture. We want to control the education of our children through the creation of African-centered institutions that teach and train our youth and adults alike in the knowledge of self and the universe we live in. We want institutions built for the constructive education and cultural development of our community. We want to see a cadre of young men and women emerge with the purpose of protecting the legal and moral character of our community. I'm going to say that again. We want to see a cadre, a group of young men and women emerge with the purpose of protecting the legal and moral character of our community. We want to see an African value system come about that will prepare us for a more collective and productive way of life. This value system is the Nguzo Saba. We have what we need. We have what we need. Umoja, unity, Kujitakalia, self-determination, Ujima, collective responsibility, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, Nia, purpose, Kumba, creativity, and Imani, faith. We have Ma'at of truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, order, and balance. We have everything that we need. The only thing, unfortunately, brothers and sisters, we don't have the mind. We don't have the mind. If we had the mind, we would institute all of these things. They always have, remembering our warrior ancestors, healers and scholars. They got Francis Cress. They got Walter Rodney. I want to do a piece on Walter Rodney. Me and Brother Akil Park are going to do a piece on Walter Rodney, Dr. King and Rosa Parks. And so, you know, all this stuff is here. And they still have an article by Milana Karinga, you know, and that's all I'm going to say about that. You know, Milana. And, of course, at the back of it, I love this, at the back of it is leaders wanted, reward, freedom, justice, and power. Study these for qualifications for you to be a leader that is needed. They have four sisters and four brothers. The sisters, Winnie Mandela, Fannie Lou Hamer, who said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Well, I'm going to tell you, I understand that, but to me, her greatest quote is, never forget where you came from and always praise the bridges that carried you over. never to forget where you came from, and always praise the bridges that carried you over. Mother, Queen Mother Moore, who was the first person really, aside from Callie House, Queen Mother Moore came later to pick up that mantle, pick up that fight for reparations. And Yaa Santiwa, of course, the warrior queen, Yaa Santiwa, along with Nzinga. The gentleman, Stephen Biko, who I quote at the end of each program, Baba Jake Carruthers, Baba Jetty from Chicago, Babu Phil Johnson, and of course, Nana John Henry Clark. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to read the Earl's narrative, propaganda, and disinformation, the battle we must win to advance. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
To plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew. Eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
It's the messenger group X-Clan. Here's the nine. The movement Black Watch. And when we're not outraged about the oppression upon the black existence, we step to you in blackness. By the way. exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother, Sissy.
Let us the words, word to phrase, to paragraph. Heed math as Jay begins class. Science of past is now brought to the rhyme face. From the scrolls, state to the verse. God to God, from God to man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from a hand. They call me militant, now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to make the army scene? Put the cause and never pause, that simply is the brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world in an instant. Living to die and I die to live again. 360 degrees. Comprehend. A man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time seem shorter. The ever radiant awareness brought forth the one. Open eye and strong shun. Patterns and priests standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to unleash. Words of one. Brought from the Genesis, will exist till Armageddon is a witness. The originals built the earth. Why must it be aggression to learn a basic lesson? Quite majestic, stern within reality. A juggernaut when you tamper with mentality. I wear a crown, extension and dimension of a brain cell, bringing hell to the sellouts. The ever tangled web we weave, always trying to obtain, no attempt to achieve. Descendants of kings and queens act like jesters, never potential, caught up in the measure. Jealousy of what are we becomes tendency for their thievery. All right, cool, but no need to pull the trigger, that's a fool. I get my words like that in my stool to produce the words that they dream about. It's another way of tricking out these sissies who may try to extinct my principality. But of course not having madness. From beginning, I'm the end. Observe me. Ignorance is not a trend. So as I beckon for a few seconds, pull the reins and hear the words of the brother. Mastering words on the verse. Funk is a force I exert. Egyptian, African, now I'm on a black watch. Check my sundial, synchronize the clock. I can catch a shadow as the moon reflects the sun. Creator's eyes make a path of brother one. So now I walk softly and carry a big stick, a bird stick, so you native swing a lick. Jay brings the funk and spreads jam to the wheat bread. And the funk of this one vainglorious, unearthly resistance, strong with persistence. Grand verbal allocations, tribal connection, pyramids, witness the funk bearer. Vibe sharer, not the error. Brother is balanced like the scales of Thor. And neither my demand makes stone seem soft. Corrupts all systems, positive poison of me. Some call it onk, it's a key. Black is a color while blackness, state of a mind state. But how many of you fake? Today, Brother Jay can find a better way, so be it. Plan it down and make it stay, I serve a purpose. Yet I'm not the G.I. Joe, I am the brother. Yo, I could never swear a place, so just hand me a step to the mic and stage area as I drop the science that breaks the clock barrier. Words of old make me more than a beginner. The key opens knowledge in place in the antenna. Americana man, Africana brother. Don't forget the land, cause the birth is from the mother. A vibe is in place, obtained and discovered. Tune in your audio and hear the words of brother.
Yo, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, step off.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Of the programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. And that's followed by Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then that's followed from 9 to 10 with Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And coming next week, the Black Farmers Report, American African Farmers Report, and that's next week, Wednesday, and Thursday is now open. And so on Friday, from 8 to 10 on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council.
And then on Sunday at 7 p.m. on Sunday. Once again, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. The Organization of African Unity, The Arrow, their newspaper, which is a quarterly now, is outstanding. I appreciate them and what they've done and what they do. They're also involved with Mama Marimba Anise, Abaka Sansum Sum, which is African spiritual warfare. They've been printing The African World, the newspaper that was started by Marcus Garvey, and they print that to coincide with Abaka Sansum Sum, and many contributors, just outstanding, The African World. So, propaganda, disinformation, the battle we must win to advance, by Babu Phil Johnson. This highly technological attack on our minds by European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy, has seriously slowed down our movement for freedom, justice, equality of opportunity. Propaganda, the persuasive manipulation of information to push a certain idea, has taken to an all new high with the system's technological control of both electronic and print media. In addition, technology has ushered in a new science of mind control called disinformation. This science of disinformation allows the system to take control of information, alter it to present the system's position, and rapidly disseminate it all over the world, thereby co-opting movements and influencing world opinion. Propaganda and misinformation are effective on our minds and the spirits for a number of reasons, but largely it is effective due to years of miseducation, intimidation, murder meted out to us by this system. It is in this foundation of fear and ignorance that the success of propaganda and disinformation is built on. When a lie is being pushed on us, our fear and ignorance of the system stops us from questioning the lie and allows us to be pushed into a blind submission into European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacies, racism's prescriptions and dictates. This blind reaction to the dominant culture of white supremacy, racism, forces us to follow along with the system rather than work in unity to protect and advance ourselves. Example, our land has been stolen. Our culture has been disrupted. Our humanity has been denigrated. And a great number of our people have been mutilated and killed, all by the power of white supremacy. And yet, we are told that to unite against this force is reverse racism and anti-God, and many of us accept this propaganda. The global system of white supremacy, racism, politicized race, color has an additional element in the power equation of people control. After centuries of economic benefits and destruction of millions of African people through the use of the race-colored card, the system wants to avoid the historical revelations of its cruel and inhumane treatment and its stifling effects on our present-day situation. So instead of being open to retribution for reparations to assist in healing, the leaders of white supremacy, racism, proclaim we should not see color, only people. Well, that's propaganda in view of the fact that we are Africans, are colored. And to deny seeing our color is to deny the importance of our humanity. This is the kind of propaganda we need to be aware of. What we should do is push for acceptance of all colors on equal par with non-colors or white, if we want to be correct. For centuries, the history of Africans has been reduced to a short paragraph on our captivity for African students in the early grades and watered down, whitewashed African study programs at the university level. Yet, when we began pushing for African studies and African history, it was considered as irrelevant and reverse racist by the system leaders. This is the disinformation of the worst kind, for we know that in America, white society is required subject. That's right, white history is a required subject from elementary schools through the university system. What makes white history more important than black history is white power versus white representing the truth. Our condition affects to bring our history into all credible institutions has brought us face to face with all kinds of resistance, to include the propaganda of multiculturalism. Instead of acknowledging the brutal destruction of African institutions, enslavement and colonization of Africans, and work for a sensitive human solution, the system chose to cover up and avoid telling our story. As a pacifier, our hunger to hear our story, multiculturalism was instituted. Multiculturalism, the blending together of cultural information on all of the ethnic groups in America and teaching an hour or so on some selective cultural attributes, is hardly an authentic move to tell our story. Yet, when we protest and demand an African-centered approach, we are declared racist. By labeling us reverse racist, white supremacy leadership through disinformation hopes to hide the power dynamic inherent into white supremacy racism. While for us to call a white person a name like honky may make us feel relieved, some of us may feel better, make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. Unlike Caucasians, white supremacy, racism, we do not have the power to make them the honky we call them. When was the last time you heard that word, huh? Got you with that one, didn't I? Honky. You know, I haven't heard it. I really haven't. I haven't heard honky in quite some time. And of course, that doesn't have the power. Us calling Caucasians anything because we have no power. And maybe that's why we took that word nigger or nigger and transformed it even into a term of endearment that we use to describe ourselves. I do not use the word. I don't call us niggas, and I don't call our women bitches. And brothers and sisters, you can too. You can train your mind to do anything that you want it to do. If you don't want to cuss, you won't cuss. If you don't want to do this, you won't do this. If your mind, if you have the will to do it, you won't. I'm telling you, that's a reality. If you have the will. When white supremacy moved against Africa, they took intelligent, God-fearing human beings and brutalized us until we either died or succumbed to the names white supremacy gave us. Heathen, coon, boy, Tom, nigger, negro, and beast are just a few. Porch monkeys. Now that we want to tell the truth about what happened to our people in Africa, on the voyage and in America, the system is pushing all kinds of watered-down stories, half-truths, and lies in our faces. They have promoted books, periodicals, papers, films, videos, and much more in a vain attempt to co-opt our minds. Yet, in every one of these stories, it is they who abused and misused us. When we find the courage to fight in these stories, it will be under white leadership. One white person will save one or two African people or families from the white massacre and come out as the hero or shero of the story. Just like they did in the movie Rosewood. Racist ass John Voight is portrayed as some store owner who helps a lot of us get on a train to get out of Rosewood. We have to see through these contradictions and know that the oppressor cannot be our liberators. Let me repeat. We have to see through these contradictions and know that the oppressors cannot be our liberators. Nobody is going to save us but us. Nobody. And because of the great job these Caucasians have done globally, everybody hates Africa. Dr. Clark said it best. We have no friends. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror. And don't leave that mirror until you like what you see. Not that you like the arch eyebrows or your cleft in your chin. No. Like who you see historically. Like who you see culturally. Like those who look like you. Respect and love those who look like you and are willing to work with one another to bring about a new day for African people. We have no friends. Everywhere where darker skinned people, people who have melanin, are relegated to the lowest economic rung on the ladder, or who are dismissed and denigrated consistently. You name the place and the situation is that. We cannot be self-sufficient when we are cast in a dependent relationship. If there are so many white folks working to free African people from bondage, how come we're still in captivity? How come we're still enslaved? As we advance the African-centered movement on the planet, the leaders of Caucasian, the leaders of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. That's what I always say that it is, because that's what it is. The leaders of that continuously devise methods and strategies to counter, discredit, neutralize, and destroy all of our authentic claims of freedom, justice, and equality of opportunity. We must be vigilant, analytical, and determined in order to move through the multi-pronged genocidal attacks of global European, Caucasian extremists and racism and privilege, white supremacy and racism. Most importantly, winning will require that we master getting at the truth in propaganda and disinformation. African people have suffered enough, says Babu Phil Johnson. A fool and water will go the way they are diverted, an African proverb. Arrow. Brothers and sisters, please join the conversation. For those who are in the queue, and there's quite a few, hit star twice. Hit star twice and you can join the conversation. Or you can dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, there always has been a plethora, a lot of good information about it, but because they have done such a damn good job of whitewashing us, and many of us are fearful of doing anything outside of them and their approval, and it's so sad. You know, that's why I consistently use and emphasize the word will. We must develop the will to eradicate this madness from our minds and begin to think as Africans and to begin to embrace our Africanness and to begin to embrace each other. One of the things I become, at least for me, and you can rescue me if I'm wrong, we cannot break the chains that the European has on our minds. We cannot release the vice grip that they have on our minds as long as we're here. We can release that grip here, but we know we can't stay here. Because the battle we fight here is even more against ourselves than against the perpetrator of this evil, dastardly deed to control the minds of African people. We have to get out. Just like that movie, Get Out. We have to get out. In fact, there's a new movie out called Them. And talking with my daughter about it, because she's seen many of the episodes. It's once again, streaming. You know, now in streaming, it's always a series. You can't watch an hour and a half damn movie. You got to have an hour, like 10 episodes in the first season and come back with it. But this is deep, and I haven't started. I want to watch it from the beginning, but it's tough. Because one segment she showed me where when the couple, American-African couple, lived in the South and lived in a kind of like a rural area
ugly old Caucasian woman comes to her door. Her husband is gone. Just her and her baby. You know, her and a little baby boy. And the Caucasian woman says, I want your baby. You better get out of here. And then as she closes the door and locks, and she sees three Caucasian men coming. And they bust into her house. And they rape her. And they put the baby in a pillowcase and toss it around till finally they drop it and the baby dies. Let me say this to you. That's a movie. No, brothers and sisters, that's real. The things that happened to us, there are no parallels at all in history to the atrocities that have been heaped upon us by these people. None! Get Dr. Bobby Wright's book and his brilliant essay, Psychopathic Racial Personality. These people are psychopathic. Get Baba Baruti's book. Just go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. Look at the selections. Get Baba Baruti's books. I know some of you have relatives. Some of you may have friends that are Caucasian. I know I worked with a Caucasian for many years on the fire department, and we worked together in coaching football. But that was the extent, because really, I was told by another brother, man, he was supporting Donald Trump. I talked to him the other about a month or so ago because I needed some information from him. And I didn't go there with him, but I'm going to because I got to, you know. Why you support Donald Trump? Well, yeah, because he's a Caucasian. And I think the reality is just like, even though, if only, once again, if only Caucasians voted, only Caucasians, Donald Trump, in spite of the fact of how evil he is, how much of a liar he is, consistently, continuously, what he did with the pandemic, causing over almost 600,000 people to die, would have been reelected. If only Caucasians voted. What should that tell you? Once again, I ain't talking about, you know, I remember talking with a brother who was a Muslim, and he was saying that in Islam it is said that these people can be your friend. Gentiles, Jews, European Jews can be your friend, but they cannot be your protecting friend. They cannot be truly real friends. 414, good afternoon. 414.
Brother Oshi.
Oh, it's LaRue Ned.
<What's> How you doing?
I'm well, Brother LaRue Ned. How you doing, man?
How are you?
Good.
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Hey, man. Uncle Ruckus is alive and well.
Yes, he is. Uncle Ruckus is real, Jack. Believe me.
Hey, man, did you see the thing they did where they brought him to I guess some actor dude was, he was acting out Uncle Ruckus at some kind of award?
No. Uh-uh. I gotta see. Is that right?
Yeah, man. I mean, he looked like Uncle Ruckus. He talked like Uncle Ruckus. I'm saying, man, they brought him out of the cartoon into straight reality.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway.
I mean, was this done in terms of destroying that mindset, or just done for theatrics and laughter and
for theatrics and laughter?
Damn, y'all.
I mean, but you can see the, just like you see in the cartoon, you can see the contradiction in his acting as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like he's kind of like a facetious type person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you can't take him real.
See, that's why to me, there is no dealing with the Caucasian. We cannot deal with him, and we cannot deal with his minions. There is, I remember I was at Coffee Makes You Black back in Milwaukee when one of the second or third times I came back to the city. I'm sitting there, and there was this American African dude who works for Ron Johnson, the state senator. Excuse me, the U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, and of course his purpose is to get us to vote for that fool, you know. And but he was very religious, you know. So he said, you know. And so having this discussion with him and about four of the brothers, until finally I stated to him, I said, you know what, man, I know there ain't nothing we can say. I can come up with all kind of information because in your mind you are trained that I rather believe in this madness and it not be true, because it ain't, than to not believe and it be true, because I'm fearful, I'm scary, I will burn in hell. And that's the mindset of our people. The fear factor keeps us in this situation. We become catatonic. A lot of us don't even want to move. We don't want to know. We don't want to do. Because you know that adage, Brother Rue says, if you knew better, you do better. If you knew better, you do better. A lot of us don't want to know because we don't want to do it. Because by knowing, automatically should change your behavior and your actions. So we don't want to, you know?
Hey, Brother Oshie, I was listening to your introduction, and man, you got a long list of African revolutionaries or African fighters. And I mean, we have to consider them people too. And so, and now those are the ones we need to focus on really to if we're going to grow. And develop, but I think we should say some of us instead of we, because all of us don't fall into that category of Uncle Ruckus.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Otherwise, right. We wouldn't even be where we are right now. I wouldn't be doing this program. You know.
Right. Exactly. See? So we got a long list of people who are in a state of resistance to. The slavery that's being perpetrated on us. But, you know, back to what you were saying, man, when I first started talking about our ancestors were not slaves, man, I ran into a wall of resistance. I was stunned, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, you know, you would think that people would say, would accept the idea of us not being slaves, even if they didn't understand the principle behind it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, I have people get mad at me, upset. I mean, like they wanted to fight, man. I'm like, what do you mean we weren't slaves? We were slaves, mm-hmm. man.
It was just like, but just, LaRue, it's the same thing with the Christian thing, you know. It's the same thing, you know. They're willing to fight, literally fight, over, you know, the indoctrination that has happened to us to accept that. Against our own best judgment, our own rational thinking, because our rational thinking has been taken from us. And that's why they would fight you about us being slaves. In fact, you have, to this very day, people who thank Caucasians for enslaving us. I'm glad we was a slave, because I wouldn't be here in this great America. I'd be over in Africa worshiping a tree, you know.
We wouldn't be as civilized as we are now.
Right.
If it wasn't for slavery.
Right. We're so civilized. Yes.
And, man, and then, you know what? And we got these overseers, man. I'm left speechless, man. These overseers. You got people. You got Black American Africans who are head of educational systems, superintendents of the public school. And our children, man, are dropping out of school left and right. It ain't even funny. And in these days and age, if you drop out of school before you graduate high school, which high school ain't really enough, but if you drop out of high school, the next thing is only left for you is prison.
It's prison, that's it. Because you can't get a job.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm talking about in general speaking.
Right, I know. You know, the only thing you'll be doing is something against the law, i.e. selling drugs, boosting, exactly. lifting criminality and so forth. You know,
right.
yeah.
That's the new crop. Then after that, you go to prison where they raise you.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, man, I forgot where I was going yeah. with that.
I know, anyway. But I know, brother. Me and you getting up in that age, man. We this happened yeah. to me a ton of times. I'm trying yeah. to. I was supposed to be taking ginkgo biloba, but I'd be forgetting to take it, man. That's how messed up right. I am. You
sometimes, know. Man, your thought gets so deep mm-hmm. when you follow it. But by the time you come back up.
Yeah, and that's a deep thought. Yeah,
yeah
but
man.
You know, but I tell you though, LaRue, you know, the sad part, just as I read from the Arrow, the disinformation and the propaganda that is constantly used, that ironically, there is so much information out today than it was years ago, but we were more inclined to believe in ourselves then than we are today, because what has happened is that all this stuff that we're bombarded with has only confused many of us, you know.
Right.
You know.
Oshie, it came back to me. So we got these African American Africans in charge of public education system. Our children are dropping out of school left and right, and when these American Africans get on TV and they talk about us dropping out of high school. It's like they don't got a clue of why our children are dropping out of school left and right before they even get to the sixth grade, or you know, especially before they graduate from high school. And it's like they don't have a clue, man. They don't have a clue.
Well, the other thing is these individuals, they don't challenge the system. They're just a part of it. You know, and that is what they do, and that's part of their responsibility. You know, right. they don't go in there and say, I'm going to eradicate this. I'm going to make, because I realize in this city, even though we may only be 30%, 40%, hey, we may be 50%, but we're 90% of the public school system. You know, and so we're right. going to do something radical and different to change the public school system to benefit our people. To infuse it right. with an African-centered curriculum, you know.
Exactly. At least bring some of that in there. At least bring some of it in there. Mm-hmm. But they're getting paid, man.
Right.
And that's the thing about it.
Right. And so if I'm paying, if you're the superintendent, I'm paying you more than likely over $100,000 a year, you know, I really don't want right. you to make no fundamental change in your people's benefit on your behalf. I want you to maintain and sustain the status quo.
Right.
That's what I want you to do.
Right. And so these superintendents, American African superintendents, I mean, if they lose their job, where they gonna be? So to me, man, the new whip is the money whip. And we're doing things for money, man, that it's killing us, some of us.
Yeah, well, you know, that's we're here in America, that's what it's all about. You know, that's why there is no allegiance. There is no cohesion amongst African people, because here in America, it is about getting paid, about getting yours. And the adage that some people believe that I'm getting mine, and if you didn't get yours, it's your fault. You know,
right.
it's not the system. It's your fault, because I'm getting mine. It's there to get. And so if you ain't getting
right.
it, and that's the sad reality.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah.
You ain't even got no boots.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah.
And, man, Gil Scott, man, those two songs you played at the beginning, man, were really on time.
Yeah.
And that one, that Gil Scott, man. Gil Scott, the revolution will not be televised.
Yeah.
That is so true, man.
Yeah.
That is so true. So if we're looking to TV or the media, other than the kind of media we got going here, to enlighten us, and to give us the proper perspective to help us live a productive and prosperous lives, we're making a serious error.
Yeah. That's why I'm always promoting those things that are African-centered, those things that will help us eradicate this ignorance from our minds, particularly like Bibi Atumi. You need to go to Bibi Atumi. It's A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, BibiAtumi.com. And they have their Saturday series, but they have a whole wealth of information on the website. In fact, it should become a regular. You know, you go to BibiAtumi.com, make it a favorite, and go there regularly. You can buy stuff from there, all kind of things. It is wholly, solely designed to change the minds of African people. The information is designed to bring African people closer together. So we're thinking and doing for self, you know. And I know that really in this society, it doesn't promote that. American society, European society promotes individualism. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what this thing promotes. It doesn't promote families. That's why probably no group in this society has more problems with family than we do.
Right.
We're so fragmented. There's a lot of us. I mean, there's some dudes in our society, in our community, who's fathered 4, 5, 6 or more children and don't support none of them. There are sisters who may have 2 or 3 children by 2 or 3 different dudes, and they don't support her in the rearing of those children. We're so
because
fragmented.
They dropped out of high school. Huh? They dropped out of high school, and they can't get a job.
Right.
And then once they get caught for selling drugs, it's all over, man. They locked into that lifestyle.
Right. And of course, then once they become criminals, you know, once they get a felony, you know, it's encouraging that there are some brothers and sisters who have employed, just like Brother Brad at Coffee Makes You Black, who's employed people who have been incarcerated, you know, because he understands it's going to be very difficult for them. But that's not a lot, you know.
Right. My observation, man, of most of the brothers who have been incarcerated, they're like geniuses, man. I'm like, they don't have the information they need, you know, to do what they need to do.
Yeah.
That's beneficial to them. But, man, these brothers are intelligent, man. And I think that's one of the reasons they drop out of school is because that their level of intelligence won't let them absorb what the school system is trying to enforce on them.
Yeah. And, you know? and of course, they can't do what they would like to do within the society legally. And of course, once again, this is a capitalistic society, so you got to have capital, and you try to get it any which way that you can.
Right.
And if that is through illegal means, that's what you do. If you even rob and steal or bop somebody upside the head and take their stuff, that's what you do. It's sad,
right.
But it happens all the time.
And then we got the black African overseers making movies like Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but yeah. So, I mean, you know, so I don't know. I just think that, you know, we're in a tough situation. We're in a tough situation globally. We're in a tough situation. Mm-hmm. That's why I've advocated for us to come together in like-mindedness and promote the concept of brotherhood and sisterhood and complementarity and African liberation. That's why I always speak every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday talking about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. I put emphasis on sovereignty because this is not about integration. It's not about assimilation. It's not about all those things. This is about us doing for ourselves. 646-646, good afternoon.
Hey, what's up, Ocean, to your brother, Lemo? Let me ask this question.
Go ahead, Jay.
In all realness, to both of you, why shouldn't white people do what they do? Why shouldn't white people treat us the way that they treat us, based on what their position is in this country and what's at stake for them. You know, the sad thing in regards to us is we blame everybody except for the ones that should be blamed.
Who should be blamed? Who should be blamed for our position, Jay?
I think it should be a combination
of
black folks and white folks. But I think the real responsibility is, after being here for over 500 years of oppression, we need to really start to blame ourselves. Because if you look at who we deem to be our so-called leaders, what are they fundamentally trying to do? What do you think most of our leaders are fundamentally trying to do?
To survive their self-ish, if you want to call them that. But your question is like this. It's like that story
about you're wrong. No, hold on. You didn't answer the question. You're saying survive. No, that's not what they're trying to do. They're not trying to survive at all. Let me finish the point, brother, because it's real important. What they're trying to do is integrate our people into the acceptance of oppression and whiteness. Everything that these so-called leaders do is geared on what? One thing, trying to integrate us into a system that has never and will never be beneficial to us. And in the process, get the trinkets of white supremacy. So in essence, they're just as bad as white folks.
Go ahead, LaRue. Go ahead, LaRue.
But they're getting paid to do it. But your first question is,
they're not getting paid to do it.
Hold on, Jay. Go ahead, LaRue.
Your first question was, what can we expect white people to do? What should we expect from them? And it's in that little story about the frog getting on the back of a snake or something, trying to cross the river. And then when they get the scorpion or whatever, when they get halfway across the water, the scorpion stings the, I think it's a frog. And then he said, now we both gonna die.
It's the frog and the scorpion.
Yeah. But Europeans gonna do what Europeans have done historically, and we really cannot expect them to change, at least not. They'll improve their tactics. They'll do what they do better than they did before, but they're still doing what they've been doing, and that's what they're going to do. Now, that's your first question. Now, when I said survive, it's like these people, these I call them overseers, black overseers. They are getting paid by Europeans to do what you said they do. And to them, they don't care about the rest of the black people. So that's why I said survive.
You know, what's interesting, both of you brothers and our listeners, you know, here we are in a situation where we have a continent with unlimited steel, after all this plunder, all this rape, all this thievery, still with more mineral wealth than any other place on the planet. We have a place where if we got it together, we ain't to worry about nothing. In terms of food production, in terms of water, I mean, everything is right there for us. In a few more weeks, in a month or so, the Southwest is going to have the worst drought that it has had in memory here in the United States. There's going to be other calamities that happen here in the United States. But yet we cling to this because we believe that our situation is contingent upon what happens to Europeans, contingent upon what happens to the white folks, contingent upon what happens to Urugu. Instead of separating from him. And I don't mean the separation that the Nation of Islam is talking about in terms of trying to find a place here in this country. There ain't a damn place in this country that we can be and live in any kind of peace.
Right.
No place. There ain't. In fact, there is no place in this country today that what we had in 1921 in Tulsa or in Rosewood or in Lane, Arkansas prior to that massacre or in Allentown prior to them people being destroyed. And even more contemporary of the Hate Eye community in Raleigh-Durham. All these places were self-contained. And now there's no place on the planet, excuse me, no place in this country, excuse me, no place in this country where we can honestly say that it is this community, this is a functional neighborhood and community where we control what's happening. We have businesses, we have employment, we have resources and so, nowhere.
Right.
We are solely dependent upon a people who hate us, who can't stand us. And yet, what do? We beg, just like the crying ass Doc Rivers. We love this country who never loved us. And I like Doc Rivers. I always liked him as a player at Marquette and as a player in the NBA and as a coach. But I'm just speaking from the heart that is real. And it's sad because a lot of us don't understand that these people will never, it is not in them to do it. It is not a part of their physiological nature. They are psychopathic in their behavior towards us.
But the point is, you don't want to deal with, and you don't want to get is, they ain't got to be effing nice to us. I wouldn't be nice to us. I wouldn't do anything in this world to increase the survival of my effing enemy. That's the problem with us.
That's the problem. We don't recognize.
These people are not our enemy.
Jay.
And we think that they gonna love us and be nice to us.
Jay.
Cut it out.
Jay, you are on point because we don't see them. We don't want to believe there's an enemy. And because why? Because of their disinformation and deceptiveness and their manipulation. No, they don't present themselves, Jay, as a fuck. Excuse me. They don't present themselves as an enemy. They present themselves as friends. That's what they've done. They present themselves as good. They suffer from what, Jay? They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They suffer from virgility. They suffer from virgility. They believe that they are good people.
Oshie, I don't care. I don't care about them. I care about us. What do we suffer from? What is our problem? Why can't we get it together? Why are we making excuses for this white man? Why are we making excuses for ourselves? The bottom line is only two things. You either gonna live or you gonna die. I mean, come on, man. We gotta really stop this.
Hey, Brother Jay, I think for clarity of thought, I think that we should separate the word blame from the word and responsibility. Blame is the one that causes it. Responsibility is the one who has to deal with the issue. So if somebody shoots me, I blame them for shooting me, but it's my responsibility now to deal with this wound that I got. So we got to separate blame from responsibility. And when we start blaming ourselves, then we get into a real confusing issue and even self-destructive or self-defeating behavior and thoughts.
Hey, bro, we fit in both categories. See, that's the problem. We don't want to accept the blame for our behavior, and we don't want to accept the responsibility for our behavior. So it's a two-way street, man.
Well, let me say it this way, Jay.
It's a 50-50 equation.
Jay.
No, brother. Now, you can't. See, I've been around this too long, and I done listened too long, and I done seen what goes on, and I see, like you say, don't blame him. Don't blame her.
Okay, let me say.
Responsibility.
Okay, Jay.
Take responsibility, and we do neither.
Okay, Jay. The response, the blame is on Caucasians. That's the blame.
Hold on.
The blame is on them because they perpetrated, they did it. But the responsibility is ours to get ourselves up out of this madness. To eradicate all the ignorance and all the pain and all the hurt to get up out of this. Because they did it and they continue to do it. You know? So, no, they suffer the blame because they are the ones that did it. But we suffer the responsibility to getting ourselves up out of it. And the problem I'm right.
Nah, you wrong on this one.
No.
Because it's our blame. It's our blame is to continue to allow them to do it. It's our responsibility to make them stop what they're doing. Nah, bruh.
No.
You can't use that analogy. That's why we stay in the position we are.
But Brother Jay, self-destruction is not a natural process. Self-destruction comes from external forces.
Right.
What is self-destruction?
And who's responsible for that? They are.
What is self-destruction?
They take the blame.
Is self-destruction holding my people accountable and killing white folks and being willing to die for it? Is that self-destruction? I'm an individual. I'm one person. If the collective came together and made those type of decisions, all of this would change. Hasn't history shown us when the people come together and say enough is enough, shit stop? Shit change? See, that's what we don't get. We're not willing to die. I'm a stab. Them brothers on that boat were willing to die. So what happened? They did what they had to do. Now, did it change? Did it change everything in the equation? No. But what it did was it put that white man on notice that this is what could happen. Then what did the white man do? He just upped his game up. He changed tactics. He evolved into more brutality. So the realization is you got to up your game up and meet brutality with brutality. If a bully bully you, what do you do to get the bully to stop bullying you? You put the mix up. And you take the whipping or you give the whipping. And then after that, it's no more. I learned that as a kid growing up in the 70s, brother. So,
hey,
no,
Brother Jay,
we don't understand that today.
Brother Jay, I'm 5'7". I weigh about 175 pounds.
I'm 6 feet, 350, and maybe a little more. That don't mean nothing. Your size don't mean nothing. The reality is, are you willing to stop the person from abusing you? That's what it's about. You may win, you may lose. But the point is, you have to do something to stop the person from abusing you. And that's what's happening to black folks.
Exactly. Now, the guy that's bullying me, he's 250 pounds and he's 6 feet tall. No, I look like a fool going fist to fist straight up with him.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because when I was coming up, there would be a bigger cat who was always bullying you. You just had to deal with something that black people don't want to deal with. You had to take the ass whipping or you had to give the ass whipping. And more than likely, once you took the ass whipping and you gave a little, the bully said, nah, I don't want to mess with this scrappy dude. So don't tell me nothing about because I'm 6 feet, 350, and you 5 and some change that I'm supposed to be afraid of you or you supposed to be afraid of me. That's why
you know
it's called mano a mano.
The point is well taken, Jay, because when you do fight back, people do respect you. I mean, whether they whoop you or not. The next time he sees you, he's going to have some more respect for you than he had
And he may with the
fight.
The next time, too, but you still fight.
But let me just say this.
At that point in time,
let me say this.
Him to just blatantly whip your ass.
Our time is almost up, but let me just say this. Yeah. I know we're saying this metaphorically and trying to use these analogies, but the reality is that the European can give less than a rat's ass. He is going to continue to do, and that and what he has done, he will continue to perpetuate that.
Thank you.
And it's not about fighting him. It's not about bullying him. He's already established the fact that he is the bully on the block with the armament to blow this world up. He can blow this world up, as you know, many times over. And so the fact is that the European could never whoop our ass straight up. He's always found a better way to kill your ass. And now,
technology.
The technology that he has, it's unbelievable the destruction that he can create. But my contention is, leave him, get away from him. Let's come together and build for ourselves. I just made the point about the continent having the riches that it still has, and that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it, Dr. John Henry Clark, and that it is ours. If we would separate ourselves and get out of this damn mindset that has been, you know, placed on us, to get out of the mindset the brothers and sisters have on the continent, the ignorance they have there, and let's come together and kick the Chinese out, kick the Arabs out, kick the Europeans out, any damn body else, the Indians, kick their asses out, and let's come together. Let's develop.
We have the same problem, bro.
Let's have a Let's have a 10-year program. Same thing that the Chinese had done with Mao Zedong.
And what did Mao do? Mao killed a whole.
And you may need to do that.
And
you may need to do that. And you may need to do that. You may need to give that.
No, may need to do that. No, stop, Oshie. No, may need to do that. You have to do that. You have to rid certain people off of the planet because of what their psychological behavior is. The only thing they understand is death.
Listen, Jay.
That's all,
I'm
bro.
Saying.
Just
I'm saying.
Stop romanticizing about it.
No, I'm saying to you is that, yes, that is a fact that may need to happen. But I'm also saying to you that a new day is on the horizon. And maybe even those Negroes will understand that and begin to change their mind. You may not have to do that, but be prepared to do it. Be prepared to eradicate ignorance.
Lost, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
You already lost with that. With
no,
that
I'm not.
Statement right there.
No, I'm
you
not.
You may not have to. You
no,
lost.
I'm not, Jay.
You
stop
you
it,
lost.
Jay.
Yes, you did.
No.
But well, we disagree. We
well,
just
you know
disagree,
what? We got to disagree. Hold on. I got another caller. I got another caller.
Hold up.
334. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie, Brother Jay, and Brother LaRue. You know, I just caught the tail end. Really wish I was on earlier, but hopefully you'll have another part to this, Brother Oshie, so I can get in on this, because maybe we just don't know how to die, Brother Jay. Maybe we really don't know how. We've been taught everything else, but we've never really been taught, quote unquote, how to die and how to die for a cause. And so that's my part that I will put in and just let's continue to listen.
Right on. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Luss. Thank you.
I don't think we're trying to become an extinct people either.
Yeah. No. And to me, you know, I believe that, yes, there are some people that we're going to have to deal with. But my thing is this. If you want to deal with that, go to the United States. Go to the Caribbean. Go to Central. But for Africa, we're calling all Africans who want to be African to come to the continent. We're preparing. It's a new dawn. It's a new day in the reality and the history of African people to do for themselves, to be self-governance, to be independent and self-determining and liberated and sovereign. It is a new day. If you want to be a part of that, you come. Now, if your ass is ignorant, you stay your ass there. And those who don't want to leave, who have that mindset, yes, we're going to deal with you. We're going to have to get rid of you. We ain't going to house you. We're going to have to bury you. Because this is a new day. No, Jay, I'm not off at all. Not at all. I got to go, though.
Have a good one, brother.
You too, Jay. You too, LaRue. All right. OTEP family. Peace. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivihorie. Bivihorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace. peace, family. You have a wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday.